God's world changes must be willing to courageously surrender their lives to God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Though the cult of Mary has elevated the Blessed Virgin to levels that are unsupportable by Scripture, nevertheless, as the mother of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary remains one of God's most prominent world changers. Listen with us now as Pastor Brian Grant leads us along Mary's mission of faith that led from the angelic announcement of Christ's miraculous birth to his sacrificial death on the cross. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, God's World Changers, Part 2.
In 1993, Steven Spielberg produced a movie that has been ranked by many critics as one of the top 25 movies of all time. The movie went on to win 7 Academy Awards, and I suspect that by now some of you have already figured out which movie I'm talking about. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Schindler's List, a movie that tells the story of German businessman Oskar Schindler, whose efforts saved over 1,000 Jews from death camp at the Auschwitz concentration camp, the brutal killing center where over 1 million Jews were killed in a 2-year period during World War II. Can you imagine that? Over 1 million people brutally killed at one spot. At the beginning of the war, Schindler, those of you who saw the movie, Schindler at the beginning of the war was a wealthy businessman, but by the time the war ended, he was almost penniless. For though he was not a Jew, he spent millions of dollars to save Jews. And when the Germans finally surrendered, Schindler met with his Jewish workers to let them know they were free. But in perhaps the most emotional scene of the film, as Schindler said goodbye to a Jewish man who was his financial manager at the factory, he embraced the man and said, "I wish I could have done more." He looked at his automobile and asked, "Why did I save this automobile? I could have bought 10 more Jews with this." He picked up another small possession and cried, "This could have saved another life. Why didn't I do more?" Just imagine, after risking his life and using up his entire fortune, Oskar Schindler still wished he had done more. And so here, as I begin this message today, I want to ask you, have you done all you could for Christ? If not, I pray that as God challenges us today through His Word, each of us will rededicate our lives to giving our all to Him. Because sadly, although many of us are Christians, not all of us are giving our all to Jesus. Amen. We're so happy to have a passport to heaven. But the question is, young person, and I want particularly to speak to young people as well as to older ones, but young people, make sure you tune in today because God wants to challenge you to make sure you're giving your all to Him. We must give our very best to the Master. Today I'm continuing a series, a short series I started entitled God's World Changers. And since we're now in the Christmas season, the world changer I'm focusing on today is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We may not have ever thought of Mary as a world changer, but I'm here to suggest to you that Mary is undoubtedly one of the greatest world changers in history. Would you buy that? And when she was only about, this may surprise you, when Mary was only about 15 years old, God chose this virgin girl to bring about the greatest miracle this world has ever seen, because Mary was only about 15 years old when she gave birth to Jesus Christ. Does that surprise you? Somehow we have the idea, oh, this was a big mature woman. She was just a teenage girl, younger than some of you teenagers and young people sitting here today. But as we read that scripture, and we'll read it again in a moment, it's just amazing the commitment that she had to Jesus. Amen? To the Lord. So teenagers, make sure you stay focused. For the same God who did such a miraculous thing through this teenager desires to do some miraculous things through you as well. God ain't done with miracles yet. Am I right about that? God is still a miracle-working God. And God wants to use some of us right here. Some who have been sitting on the bench. God wants to use us to do some miraculous things for Him as well. Let me quickly share with you today three things we can learn from Mary's life. Here's the first thing I want you to write down in your notes. I'd like you to write if you don't mind, because all the studies show that when we write something, when we hear, it's great. When we see, that's why we put it on the screen, that helps. But when we write, it makes it stick even more in our minds and in our hearts. So if you don't mind, we're not going to force you, but we do believe it's going to help you every week that you come if you write. Hearing you're about to have a baby. Let's turn back. Mary's faith, here's the first thing. Mary's faith motivated her to risk everything for God. Mary's faith motivated her to risk everything for what? For God. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Well, we'll stop there for a moment. Mary was told she was going to have a baby. Hearing you're about to have a baby can be very exciting. Now, by the way, I've never been told I was about to have one. I was told my wife was going to have one, and then another, and then another. And although I was not carrying, I was quite excited at each opportunity. But Mary had a major complication. For though we sometimes say that Mary was engaged to Joseph, their relationship was much deeper than what an engagement means today. We always say they were engaged. Well, the relationship between Mary and Joseph was much deeper than any engagement. So write this down. Mary was actually betrothed to Joseph. Both families had entered a legal contract that was as binding as marriage. The dowries had already been paid, and all that remained was the wedding feast, after which Mary would move into Joseph's house and consummate their marriage. Look with me at Matthew just for a moment, because I need to bring a point here from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. Here's how it reads. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary, I'll give you a few seconds to catch up. Matthew's 1, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. So it reads as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You notice there is a switch here between engagement and espoused and my husband, my wife. You see, in Jewish culture, betrothal was as binding as marriage. And since Matthew's gospel was written to a Jewish audience, and it's very important that we remember that, because there are some differences that you'll find between Matthew's gospel and the other gospels. Matthew's gospel was written to a Jewish audience, and there are some things in the gospel of Matthew that you will understand if you understand Jewish culture. In Jewish culture, betrothal was as binding as marriage. And since Matthew's gospel was written to a Jewish audience, as I just said, it refers to Joseph as Mary's husband. Although neither the wedding celebration nor the consummation of the marriage had taken place as yet. But since Joseph knew the consequences, if a betrothed Jewish girl got pregnant by someone else, he was trying to figure out how to put Mary away secretly. The Bible says he was trying to figure out what is he going to do to put her away secretly. Because he knew that as a Jewish girl, in Jewish culture, if you are betrothed, there are serious consequences if a betrothed girl shows up pregnant. For under Jewish law, listen. You want to hear what the punishment is? Hold your finger there and turn with me to the book of Leviticus. We got to go to the Old Testament. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 10. And here is what it says. Because they are regarded as marriage, although they are betrothed, and therefore anything that happens during that period is regarded as adultery. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery, I'm in Leviticus 20:10, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Joseph recognizes that since it's not me, because Joseph knew he wasn't involved. You're following me? Do I need to spell it out more? Joseph, though he had not touched this young lady, and she shows up pregnant under Jewish law, because who's going to buy this idea that the Spirit of God came down on her? So under Jewish law, she's regarded as committing adultery. They may have had a hard time finding the man. But under Jewish law, she deserved to be killed. She was going to be killed. And so Joseph, the Bible said, is trying to find a way to solve this. But here's the point I want to go. That's for another message. But here's what I want to deal with today. Although Mary knew when she agreed, when in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, when she said, I am the Lord's handmaid, verse number 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, Luke 1:38, when she said that, let it be to me according to your word. Young people and older ones, when Mary said that, she was taking incredible risk. She was putting her life on the line because as far as Jewish culture was concerned, this was a certain death sentence. But she was trusting in the Almighty God. Amen. The God who called her and chose her, she figured that this God could do it. Amen. Amen. Do you have confidence in God? Are we willing to commit our lives to God? Are we willing to trust Him? Put this in your notes. Mary courageously risked everything for God, for she was confident she could depend on Him. Oh, I'm so glad we can depend on Him. Amen. Are you willing to risk everything? Young people, this morning, that's why where God wants to bring you. To a point where you are saying to God today, God, I'm willing to trust you with my entire life. Because, Lord, even as I hear about what Mary did, I realize we can depend on Jesus. It's easy to say we can depend on God. But often when we're tested, our faith falters. We fall back on human wisdom and intuition and try to play it safe. But God's world changes. Come on now. Wouldn't it be something for God to use you in an extraordinary way? God's world changes must be willing to courageously surrender their lives to God. You know, today we witnessed the baptism of 5 young people. And I tell you, young people, I'm excited. My heart is filled with joy to see the steps you have taken. The step you have taken. And it's my prayer. We will be praying for you as a church that God will continue to use you. But as we saw these 5 young people. And I challenge you, young people, dare to stand for God. Don't follow. Usually we may say, don't follow the world. I'm going to suggest you, don't follow the Christian church. Because the sad truth, they're just, the Christian church is full of people. We're just bench warmers. A prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But then we just keep living the same old way. But God wants to use you. Young people, God wants to use you. God wants to use you to be a world changer. If you will decide, if you would dare to say, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. You don't have to follow everybody else. You don't have to try and fit in with those who want to do their own thing. You can decide, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I challenge some of you who are well grown. But you know you're just drifting along. Come on now. You said yes to Jesus. But there's little to show. If Jesus were to come today, you probably would empty-handed go. But God is calling us today. God wants to make us world changers. And by His grace, if we commit to Him, we can depend on Him. He will use us to do incredible things. You know, the founder of GCA, Dr. B. Sam Hart, was determined to follow Jesus. He was born in Harlem, New York. You may or may not know that. But as a child, his parents took him back to Jamaica. His parents were born in Jamaica, but they'd come to America, landed at Ellis Island, became Americans, set themselves up. Father was a successful businessman in Harlem, heard the gospel, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior, became determined to serve Jesus with everything that he had. And so he left his thriving business, went back to Jamaica, and became an incredible force for God. In fact, he started the first Christian radio broadcast in the country, started a whole number of churches, but that's who I'm not talking about, his dad. I'm talking about B. Sam. B. Sam went back to Jamaica. He got saved as a child. And in his early teens, he felt called to preach the gospel. Initially, he would preach to the banana trees. But of course, none of them responded to the gospel. None of the bananas got saved. Despite the good preaching, his bananas were no better than anybody else's bananas. But one day, his dad got sick. B. Sam was about 16 years old at the time. His dad got sick, and I was to speak at the prison. And so he couldn't go, and he was looking around for preachers to go. And his son said, "Why not me, Dad?" And so he got his chance, his first big opportunity. And he preached at that prison in a little town in Jamaica. And I understand that that day over a dozen people came to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And his career as a preacher of the gospel began. Listen. Soon he surrendered his life to serve the Lord full time. And I tell you, over the years, I remember God used him in such an incredible way. I remember as a teenager, I didn't really know him, but I would listen to, there was a, we only had one radio station in Jamaica when I was born. Eventually we had two. I don't know how many they have now. But can you imagine, we had no TV station, so we didn't have TV. Just one radio station and two. And sometimes I was scanning to see, could I pick up anything from somewhere else out of Jamaica? And I finally landed at a certain time of the day. I landed on a station coming from Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles. And this man was speaking in English. It was Dr. B. Sam Hart. Can you imagine that? As a teenager, I listened to him so many times before I say, "Coming to you from Calvary Gospel Chapel in West Philadelphia, this is the Grand Gold Gospel Fellowship with Dr. B. Sam Hart." Little did I know I would one day get to meet him and be actually related to him. Doesn't God have an incredible sense of humor? But here's the point I want to make. This guy whose preaching was to banana trees, God used him. Not only to start this church, there are about 16 others in the United States. Their church is all over. There are tens of thousands of people across the world who have come to receive Christ through his preaching. Why? Because this young man said to God, "God, take my life."
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.